First Timothy chapter number 3, we'll get back started next Sunday. We've been preaching about being an overcomer and what the blessings of an overcomer are. And we'll get started back with that, Lord willing, next Sunday. But today, we're preaching a message directed towards the call of the ministry, the call of a preacher. And thank God that the Lord still calls men to preach the gospel. Say amen. That's mighty weak. I'm glad that God still calls men into the gospel ministry. Amen? Amen. If it had not been for some preacher somewhere, somebody that had a burden for your soul, somebody that proclaimed the message of the gospel, then you'd not be saved today. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't say foolish preaching. He said the foolishness of preaching. You realize that the Lord could have chosen any other method to bring the gospel, but he chose the preaching of the gospel by men. And beloved, today I thank God that he's still got his hand still calling men into the ministry. Amen. For without the preaching of the word of God, we'd not be able to carry on the gospel. We'd not be able to see people saved. We'd not be able to see the church grow without the preachers and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul gives some instructions, and the title of the message this morning is this: God's Word to God's Man. God's message to God's man. Much of what I may say this morning will be directed toward Brother Jeffrey. And I want him and you to see this morning the awesome responsibility that's placed upon a man of God. The awesome responsibility that God has entrusted his infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, beloved, before we even get started on that, may I say to you this morning that the first step to being a preacher is not being mama called and papa sent. The first thing to being called a preacher is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ saved your soul. I'm glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad for, as an 11-year-old boy, that he spoke to my heart and he saved me in Raleigh, North Carolina. But then some years after that, God spoke to me. You say, preacher, what did he say? He spoke to me through the Holy Spirit of God, and he called me into the ministry. I didn't choose it. If I chose anything, I wanted to be an airline pilot. I wanted to fly airplanes. I wanted to make big money. But God said, I've got other plans for you. And I'm glad this morning, as last Sunday we preached about, I surrender all. I surrender. And thank God if you'll take your life and put it in the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, I give it all to you. I give you my life. I give you my home. Give you my wife. Give you my everything. Thank God he'll take it. He'll bless it. He'll use it for his glory. Amen. A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Your life does not consist in how much money you got in the bank, what kind of car you drive. My friend, you can have the wealth of all the nations. You can have the wealth of a Bill Gates. You can have the wealth of a Donald Trump and die without Christ, and you'd end up in a devil's hell. But I'm glad that he came to save those that believe on his name. And that's the message of this book this morning. The message of the gospel. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I hope that you do. Stand with me for just a moment. You say, preacher, why do you do that? Because it's biblical. Over in the Old Testament, they stood when they read the Word of God. If you can stand, it and not be a hindrance to you. I understand some of you, it's hard to get up and down. But my friend, if you can, follow us along. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible said, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor filthy, greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Skip down to verse number 11. And here Paul says to Timothy, he addresses the man, but then he says in verse 11, even so must their wives. He just talked about the deacons there in the preceding verses. And he says, likewise, so must their wives. Talking about the preacher's wives, the deacon's wives. They be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And let the deacons be the husbands, one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Now, beloved, this morning I want you to hold your Bible open as we pray today. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord God, we praise you for all that you've done. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day. The psalmist said, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we come to this service today. Lord, we don't come here to honor a man, but we come to honor the Lord. We come today to lift up the name of Jesus, for he's worthy. Lord, there's nothing we could ever do that would bring praise to our name. There's nothing we could ever accomplish that would bring glory to our name. But we thank you. We praise you today, for you have gone to Calvary. You suffered and bled and died. You were buried and rose again the third day. You're now seated at the right hand of God the Father. You're now making intercession for your people. You said unto them that would come unto you that you would receive them. Give them a home in heaven. Bless them abundantly with all spiritual blessings. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done. Bless now the remainder of this service. May we ask today the Holy Spirit have his control, and we'll praise you and glorify you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your Bible open. Today we've gathered here in this place. Many friends have come in. Family members have come in. And here we gathered here today to listen Brother Jeffrey Wright into the ministry. For over 2,000 years, God has been calling men to preach his precious gospel to a lost and dying world. We're here today to recognize that God has called another man into the ministry. And beloved, may I say in the beginning that let us not take this calling lightly. If you would turn back to Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. Here's what Paul said to the Roman Christians. Romans 10 verse number 13. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad that God's still in the saving business? Say amen. God can reach down. You may have come in this morning. You say, preacher, I'm here to pay honor to my friend. I'm here to pay respect and honor to my family member, Brother Jeffrey. But beloved, the Holy Ghost of God inscribed in the annals of God long time ago that he knew you'd be here today. And he knew you may need this message today, that you may need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that God reaches down and speaks to hearts, convicts of sin, and brings them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad today that he still saves to the uttermost? He still's in the saving business. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. That's why this man is here. That's why God is speaking. That's why we have deacons that serve. That's why we have Sunday school teachers that teach. Why? It's not a social club. But beloved, we're trying our best to get the gospel to a lost and dying world, because friend, times are running out. Jesus is coming again. Death is on your trail. Thank God. whosoever, and you put your name in there. It might be Bill, it might be Joe, it might be Sally, it might be Sarah. I don't know what your name is. God knows what it is. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But read on. Read on. And he says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Say it with me. How shall they hear without a what? Listen, my friend, I thank God for good music. Amen. Thank God for a good piano player. Thank God for a good organ player. Thank God for a good bass player. Thank God for the choir that sing special music. But honey, I got news for you. It's by the preaching of God's word that men are saved. Preach. And he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Read on. And how shall they preach unless except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of great things. Now, I don't question the Bible, but if there was ever a passage that I would question, I'd question that one right there. How beautiful are your feet that preach the gospel? Because I'll be honest with you, thank God for shoes, amen? Because some of us have got some ugly feet, amen? Just keep them on, amen? But God says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of the message of the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection. How beautiful are your feet? There may not be a whole lot many things beautiful about me, but thank God I got beautiful feet because I preach the gospel. Now here's what Paul said. Without preaching and without preachers, this world would not hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Without missionaries, the world would not hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We went to the Billy Graham Library this week, and I'm gonna make this fast. I know some of you are hungry out yonder. We got food for you, we got lunch for you, so don't go nowhere. But I was amazed. We went to Billy Graham Library. Listen, if you've never been, I encourage you to go. I know this is going out everywhere. I'd encourage you to go. I'm not promoting Billy Graham. I'm promoting the cause of Christ. But we walked in that place, and every room, every exhibit, it wasn't about Billy Graham. No, sir, it really wasn't. It wasn't about it. It was about the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we walked in one room, it had on there the chain of events, and it had on there, starting with D.L. Moody, the pastor at the Chicago, and when Moody was saved, there was a shoe salesman by the name of Edward Kimball that led D.L. Moody to the Lord, and Moody got saved, and when Moody got saved, there was a young man that came into Moody's church by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman that got saved, and J. Wilbur Chapman became a preacher, and because of his preaching, another man by the name of Billy Sunday, who was a baseball player, got saved as a result of his ministry. F.B. Meyer was saved, and the chain went on down to Mordecai Ham, and some of you may have heard of Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham preached a revival crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there's sitting that audience a young man by the name of Billy Graham that heard the message and received Christ and became one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever known. Hey, don't ever tell me you're nothing in the sight of this world. You carry the gospel, you never know the influence you may have. Amen. You may never know. Let's notice some things here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm going to take a few minutes. Brother Jeffrey, I'm going to address some of this to you this morning. It's an awesome, I thank God for the call. And I just relate a little bit of that to me. When I was a teenager, when I was 15 years old, went to a youth camp one Easter, right down the road here in Camp Caraway in Asheboro, North Carolina. And I sat there on that Easter Monday, 1972, April the 15th, I believe it was. And I don't even remember who was preaching, but somebody was preaching. And all of a sudden, God began to deal with my heart about the ministry. I didn't want to go to the ministry. That wasn't for me. There was nobody in my family in the ministry. There was nobody in my family a preacher. God began to deal with my heart. I went back to the church, and I'd sit there in the pew, and I'd look up to the pulpit, and it was like the voice of God would say, one of these days you're going to be up there. And I said, oh, no, not me, Lord, not me.
Not me. You got the wrong fellow in mind. You got the wrong Frank Thacker. Find a different one. And then that began to dwell in my heart. And finally, we were having we had banquets in that day, Christian schools and so forth. We didn't have the prom, but we had a big banquet at High Point, at Top of the Mark restaurant there. And we were going around that room that day, and everybody was telling them. We had a big youth group, and everybody was telling what they were going to do in life. And they said, "All you that's graduating, y'all stand up, tell us where you're going to college, what you're doing." And I stood up. This is what I said before I knew what I said. I said, "I'm going off to Tennessee Temple University to college." I knew that. But I told everybody that I was going just to serve the Lord, not going in full-time service. I was just trying to have a way out in case this thing of preaching didn't work out. And then out of my mouth, I said, "God's called me to preach." And I thought, oh my, what have I said now? I wanted to take it back. Well, that night, when I came back, my two sisters were living on the other side of Reedsville. My one sister is probably listening this morning. I stopped by their house, and I walked in. I said, "I got something to tell you." I said, "God's called me to preach." And they looked at me, and they said, "We could have told you that 2 weeks ago. The Lord's already spoke to our heart." Hey, can I tell you something? Thank God for the call. Thank God that He places His call upon men. How that He speaks to men and says, "I want you, I want to use you. I want you to just be a vessel in the hands of the potter." Notice, if you would, this morning, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'll make it quick. Notice the preacher's call. First of all, he's a handpicked man. Look in verse number 1. He says, this is the true saying, a faithful saying. He said, "If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." What does that mean? The word desire means to reach out, to stretch out. It has the idea of having a deep, burning desire to be something that you're not. You see, the call of God, most of the time, it's not something that a man is looking for. Most of the time, the call of God is not something that he is seeking after. But he says the man that desires the office of a bishop as a preacher, he desires a good work. You see, God puts it in your heart. God begins to birth it down here, and God puts that desire in your heart. Listen, God doesn't call men today just because of their looks or just because of their social status. God in heaven looks down and says, "If you're available, I'll use you for the glory of God. I'll use you." Notice something here. He says it is a highly privileged man. He says a good work, an excellent undertaking. And by the way, look in verse 1. He said it is a work. God help us today. Many preachers today have brought a shame and disgrace upon the ministry. My friend, may I tell you this morning, there's no place in the ministry for a lazy person. Say amen. Oh, that's awful weak. Come on, y'all can say it here in front of me. There's no place for a lazy man in the ministry. Hey, it is a good work. It is a work. I mean, listen, it is a work you carry with you day in and day out and here and there. I'm sure Miss Joanne could relate to this with Brother Tom. I mean, thank God last week my wife and I took off a week and we went down. And we spent a week together, but can I tell you something? And I don't say this putting any laurel wreaths on me, but I was thinking about you. I was thinking about the messages. I was thinking about those that were having burdens and those that were having problems. And Miss Joanne, I'm sure your husband was that way, right? He never got away from it. Never got away. He might be 100 miles away. He might be 1,000 miles away. But his heart was right here with the people, and thank God for that. But when the Bible says he desires the good work, thank God it is a work. It's not an office to be a bum or lazy. Keep going, notice. There are some things that the Bible says as a man of God. Notice, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over just a little bit. And Paul says this to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll just give you a few brief things and we're going to move on. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, first of all, this work that he talks about, this office of a preacher, in verse number 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it is a ministry of preparation. Here the Bible says, and Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering." And all notice that word doctrine. You see, my friend,
many times today, and you've heard them, I've heard them, and you've heard them. If I get up and I preach my opinion, that's nothing but just a little old gospel message. Just a tacked on message. But when I stand up and I preach, thus saith the Lord God, when I preach the Bible and preach the doctrine of the Bible, we can rest upon it, we can stand upon it, we can say amen to it, because it's God's word, not my opinion. This is the only thing that's not going to change. Amen? The government's going to change. Society's going to change. The ways are going to change. But thank God he said my word will stand forever. It'll never change. What a blessing that is. Notice number 2, verse number 2. There's a passion involved in that. He said, preach the word. Proclaim the word. And friend, today there's places that you and I, you say, do I have to be a preacher in order to preach the word? No, sir. You could preach the word to those people down there at Walmart. Thank God, just a week or so ago, one of our ladies here led one of her co-workers to Christ out in the car in the parking lot at Walmart. Glory to God! That is a ministry right there. You can preach the word when you're at work. You can preach the word to those around you, to your neighbors, to your family, to your friends. But notice also it's a passion. Third of all, it's patience. Brother Jeffrey, verse number 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Brother, I'd love to tell you this morning that every time you stand to preach, that folks are going to love everything you say. But the truth of the matter is, that's not the case. I bet it wasn't the case in Brother Tom's life, was it, sister? You see, my friend, when you preach the word of God, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it pierces, it cuts going in, it cuts coming out. I've heard people say to me before, preacher, you stepped on my toes this morning. Honey, if I stepped on your toes, I missed altogether. I'm aiming for the heart. That's where the difference comes. Preach the word. Instant in season, out of season. When folks love you, and folks don't love you. When they talk good about you, and they talk bad about you. When they walk up to you, put their arm around you and say, preacher, I love you to death. And then when they call you up on the phone and chew you out, love them anyway. Amen? Be instant in season. Notice the fourth thing. We move on. Y'all can say amen at any point in time. And then he says, verse 3 and 4, patience. Verses 3, for the time will come. And folk, I believe we're living in that day today. Can I tell you something? Thank God for some old-time gospel preachers. But I'm going to tell you folks something. We're becoming dinosaurs. Fred, I love you to death, and I'll tell you straight up the truth. But you've got some crowds out here today, and I'm not trying to knock their size of the church, the mega churches, whatever. They'll tell you anything you want to hear. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we've got folk today that will leave good, fundamental Bible preaching churches to go to churches that will tickle their ears, make them feel good. My friend, the Bible said, Paul said to Timothy, look right there, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, pleasing what they want to please, hearing what they want to hear, doing what they want to do, living in sin and debauchery, my friend. The time is now. We need some old-fashioned men of God with a backbone like a solo that'll stand up and proclaim the word of God. I mentioned Billy Sunday a while ago. If you've never read anything about Billy Sunday, I encourage you to get a book on Billy Sunday and read about Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday hated liquor with a passion. He lived during the Prohibition time. And my friend, he preached against liquor. He preached against drinking. He preached against the saloons. He said, I nail, his wife was named Nell. He said, when I'm dead and gone, I want you to take and have the undertaker skin my hide, and I want you to make a drum out of it. I want you to go up and down the land and beat that drum and say, Billy Sunday hates liquor. My friend, old Billy Sunday, he was a preacher. He was a baseball player. He'd start here in the pulpit, home base, and he'd go over here, and that'd be first base. Second base down at the clock. Third base over here. He'd get up there and to preach. He'd start preaching, and he'd run the first base. And then he'd run to second base. And then he'd run to third base. And then he'd try to run home, slide into home. He'd slide, and get to the pulpit, jump up, call himself out. He said, that's a way that the devil's going to get you to do. You're going to try your best to run to good works. Try your best to run to church membership. Try your best to run to water baptism. And when you try to slide in home, God's going to call you out. Amen. He probably wouldn't get invited to some folks' places today, would he? Preach the word. Preach the word. I don't have almost time. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And here's what I want you to see. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul says unto Timothy, he said in verse number 3, the preacher, the man of God, he's not to be given to wine, nor striker, nor filthy lucre. In other words, y'all could probably call some names today. There are preachers that have used the office of a preacher to gain worldly goods. And that's wrong. Not filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous. And then he says here in verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house. He is to be an example. That doesn't mean he has perfect children. Would you say amen right there? My kids grew up in church. My kids grew up more or less in a glass house. And my friends, sometimes it's very easy for church folk to look at preachers' kids. And I say, I don't know, I hadn't planned to say this, not in here, but here's what it's very easy for folks to look at preachers' kids and tear them down. But my friend, can I say something to you? Is that nobody in here has got perfect kids. You know what they said one time, Sister Joanne? Maybe this is true, but they said the reason why, and Tammy's sitting here, the reason why that the preacher's kids are so mean, they play with the deacon's kids. You heard that? Stay away from deacon's kids. Amen. But my friend, can I tell you something? These two ladies here and this one too, they have prayed and prayed and prayed for this man. I know they do, but they prayed for my family. You know why? Because the devil would love, if he can't get me, you know where he's going to go after? He's going to go after my kids, ain't he? You need to pray for this man. You need to pray for this lady. Because I tell you what, friend, their brother, from this day forward, now that you're, you know, not God called him, he said 3 years ago, but I know that we've talked for many times, but now you're making this public. Guess what, son, I want to tell you, you're just painting a bullseye on your back. Amen. But church, would you pray not only for me, my wife, my kids, would you pray for them, their kids? Because I'm going to tell you what, the devil, he wants to come out after them. Amen. He wants to wreck and ruin. Hey, listen, it's not just the preacher, the deacons. He wants to wreck and ruin everybody. We got to stand together. We got to stand in the power and the might of the army of the Lord. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The devil, my friend, has to run and hide at the name of Jesus. Stand fast. But pray for this man. Pray for this man. Pray for those kids. Quickly. This is what he says. He addresses the preacher's character. He is to be blameless. Verse number 2. That means to take hold of. There shouldn't be anything in your life as a preacher that Satan could use or an unsaved world could use to tear down a ministry. Maybe you don't hear as much as I hear. I hope you don't. But there are preachers by the scores that are falling. There are preachers right now. Can I tell you something real quick? And we're about done. Man, it's after 12. Don't forget what I just said. Amen. Some years ago, I walked into a bookstore in Burlington. The owner of the bookstore said, Frank, I wish you were here just a few minutes ago. I said, why is that, Jim? He said, a lady that just left was involved in Wiccan, satanic worship. And this is what I have heard them say, and this is what I repeat to you, that those priests in the Wiccan, the satanic church, are praying for men of God that they would fall.
And it's just about every day, almost every week, that you pick up the newspaper and there's another preacher that's fallen, committed immorality, committed sexual misconduct. And their ministry is wrecked and ruined. The church is devastated. And people are hurt by that. Friend, can I tell you something? The devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to stand together. We need to pray together. We need to take hold and say, listen, we don't want anything in our life to be a reproach on the name of Jesus. We don't want anything to bring a reproach on the church and the people of God. And so he says there's some personal qualifications. Notice he says he's to be the husband of one wife, meaning a one-woman man. He's to be vigilant, temperate. He must not be a man who is a brawler. In other words, there'll be times that you might want to haul off and hit somebody, but control yourself. Amen. Sober. That means a serious attitude, but not, that doesn't mean he can't have fun. I wish I'd known your husband. I really did. I wish I'd known Brother Tom. Folks tell me I would have loved him. But I could almost, one story that I've heard that maybe y'all can bear if this is true or not, but there was Vacation Bible School one time. And the ladies were getting, and she's a looking. And the ladies were gathered on one side of the building here. Now this is what I've heard. And they brought the fire truck down, and they turned the hose on the opposite side of the building, and it just drenched everybody's hairdo. Is that right? Except yours. Amen. And then I understand your husband put the blame on somebody else. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? A man of God needs to be sober, serious-minded, but it doesn't mean he can't have fun. Just watch out. You may don't wet them women's heads anymore. Amen. Jeffrey, remember that, all right? And in the future, don't. He's to be a man that can be a friend. He should be a man that you can go to with anything and know. It's not go past that office door. He should be a man that'll get down on his knees and pray for you. And pray for your lost kids. Pray for your lost family. A man that's full of the Holy Ghost. So that when he preaches, it's not his words, but it's God's word. And God's word pierces the heart. It's not my oratorical ability. It's not my intellectual knowledge. It's not the books that I've read. But my friend, if I don't have a secret time with God, if I'm not full of the Holy Ghost of God when I stand before the people of God to preach, I might as well close my Bible, sit down on the pew, and go home, for nothing will ever happen. But you take a man that's full of the Holy Ghost of God, regardless of what he looks like, regardless of how he sounds, if he's strong, if he's loud mouthed like myself, if he's quiet, if he's full of the Holy Ghost, things are going to happen because God moves in. And last of all here, sis, I have to address you this morning. For the Bible said here in verse 11, so let their wives. He's referring right here to deacons' wives, but he's also referring to preachers' wives, Dana. As somebody has said, behind every good man, there's a good woman. Behind my ministry is a good woman. Would y'all say amen to that? She's quiet. She doesn't say a whole lot. She doesn't speak out. She doesn't get up, but I want to tell you something. She's my strength. And Sister Dana, there'll be times that this man will come home and he'll say, them people don't love me. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to find another. I'm going to go back to the tractor business. I'm going to do something else. And that'll be the time that you'll say, honey, remember God called you. And we're going to stand with you. Our kids are going to stand with you. By that time, they'll have a dozen. Say amen right there. We got our own church. We don't need heaven. But there'll be times like that. Sis, I believe there's probably times like that in your husband's life that he probably said, it ain't worth it. every Monday just want to throw up the white flag and just want to surrender. There have been many a time I'll quit on Monday, but I get back in the saddle by Tuesday. Amen. What am I saying? Thank God he's still calling men into the ministry. The first call that our brother had over here was a call of salvation. You see, about 3 years ago, Jeffrey came, sat down with me, and he said, "Preacher, I believe God's called me into the ministry." And I said this. I think I said this. I'll say it to anybody. If you can do anything other than preach and be happy, do it. Because if you're called to the Lord, you cannot do anything else and be happy. You might have to make some tents along the way like Paul did. You might have to work for 911 dispatcher, but you know what? That's not where his heart is. His heart is in the ministry. His heart is serving people. I'll say this publicly. I thank God for this young man. I say young man, he's a lot younger than I am. But y'all don't know how many hours he puts in right here, behind the scenes. All this sound stuff, all this broadcast over the internet, all that, all the CDs. If you ever want a CD, here's the man that does that. All the recordings, everything. How many of you heard the radio broadcast this morning? How many of you, did you hear that? He did that. What am I saying? I told my wife, I said, you know, I know my limitations. Thank God he sends some good men, some good people, that the cause of Christ moves forward. Thank God, amen. I want to ask you a question as we close in this part. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know him? That's the first call. That's the first call when God spoke to your heart and said, you need Christ. You need to be saved. Would you bow your heads just a moment in prayer? I'm going to ask the musicians to come this morning. I'm going to ask you this important question, and here it is. If you were to die today, do you know beyond a doubt that you're going to heaven? Do you know that? Has there been a time in your life that you can say, I know that I've been saved. I know that Christ came into my heart. I know that he saved my unworthy soul. How many of you by an upraised hand could say, "Preacher, I know that. I know that I have been passed from death unto life. If I were to breathe my last breath today, I'm headed to the celestial city of God." Would you lift your hand up? If you're not ashamed of the Lord, wave it at him. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. If you're here today and you could not raise that hand, I'd encourage you this morning. You say, "Preacher, I come in for this special day here for Brother Jeffrey Wright and for Sister Dana. I came in here today for this great occasion, but God had other plans for you. Maybe this morning he's speaking to your heart. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning, and he would say to you today, take the opportunity right now. Trust the Lord as your Savior." How many of you would say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Christ today. I need Jesus in my life. Things have been just a wreck and a ruin. Things have been going downhill. There's no peace. There's nothing. Nothing in my life makes any sense any longer. I need Jesus today. Would you pray for me?" I'll do that. I'm not going to single you out. I'll not come back. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll pray for you. Is there one? Lift a hand up across this room and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need Christ. I need Jesus in my life." Is there one? How many of you say, "Preacher, I know Christ my Savior, but my life ain't been counting for the Lord. I've been preoccupied with other things. I've been preoccupied with pleasure and job and the things of this life. They've been weighing me down. But this morning, I want to surrender my life to the Lord." Maybe God wants to use you. Maybe God's calling you. Maybe God's putting his finger on you and said, you're next. I want you, never say, "I'm too old." Never say that. Never say that. How many of you would say, though, "Preacher, that's me. I want my life to count for Christ. I want God to use me this morning." How many of you would just say that from the bottom of your heart? "I want my life to count for Christ." Lift that hand. "I want my life to count for Jesus. I want it to count for Jesus today." Amen. Stand to your feet for a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, do that work that we cannot do now. Bless, we pray, in the invitation. For you pray it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. While we sing a stanza of invitation.
While we sing this, just as I am, obey the Lord today.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and had thou biddest,
be seated for just a moment, just a moment. All over the building, if you'd be seated just a moment. And again, we're here this morning to acknowledge that our brother Jeffrey has accepted the call of the ministry into his life. Now, for those of you not familiar with this, is what we're doing this morning is we're recognizing as a church that he has we're giving him a license to the ministry. Now, that's not an ordination. Ordination is a little bit more in-depth process, and that comes a little later down the road. But this is a first step to say, God has called me, and I want to serve the Lord, and we're moving forward with that. And our church also voted just a few weeks ago to bring Brother Jeffrey on as assistant to me, and I appreciate that, and I praise God for that. Brother, I want to ask you this morning, you believe God called you into the ministry, and all the things we talked about, I know they're sobering, and I know some of them, you say, man, but you believe that God's called you, and you're willing to follow Him. Amen. I want you to come up here just a second, all right? And Jeffrey gives me great pleasure and to present to you this morning a certificate of license. It simply says this is to certify that Jeffrey Reese Wright as one who has given evidence of a calling by God into the ministry as a minister of the gospel and was licensed to function in ministry as the opportunity may be presented and to exercise the God-given gifts in his ministry by Harmony Baptist Church, me, the pastor, 27th day of April 2014. Jeffrey, it gives me great pleasure to present this to you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Anything you want to say? No? Okay. I want to ask he and his family. Dana, would y'all come and stand down front? And when you ordain somebody, we lay on hands. We're not going to do that this morning, but we're going to ask all of our deacons, would y'all just gather right down front? First of all the visitors that came for Jeffrey and Dana this morning, would y'all stand just a moment? If you're visiting with us and you're part of the family, even though if you've been coming for a good while, you're part of the family. Amen? Amen. Give them a good round of applause, would you please? I want to ask all of our deacons, if you would, fellows, would y'all just step out just a moment? Come on out here just a minute. All of our deacons, would y'all surround him this morning? Come on, all of our deacons and the ones that's here. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to ask God to use him, God to bless him. And fellows, on the other side, amen. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead. And as we pray, we're going to ask God to use him. And then we're going to go ahead and ask the blessing, since it's getting a little late. And would you let our guests go first? You can go out through here to the food. And we've got a dinner prepared. Please don't leave. There's plenty of food. And we have a cake. Brother Rodney has done a cake for a special cake for today. And we want to honor Brother Jeffrey and Dana. Thank God for them this morning. I'm going to ask you if you would stand to your feet. Would you please? Everyone standing. Brother James, I'm going to ask you if you'd start us in prayer. Brother Keith, would you close us in prayer this morning? And as they pray aloud, would you pray that God's hand would be upon this man, that God would use him, that God would make his path straight, that he would overshadow him with his presence and his power. He would protect him and his family from danger and harm, and that the Lord would just open up his borders, give him souls for those labors.